You see up there the title of this morning's message, May You Live in Interesting Times. So I'm just curious, who's heard this expression before? Adam. Okay, John. Couple of people, Ted. So the interesting part about this this expression, it did some research on it, and apparently it does date back millennia to China, and it was actually a curse. May you live in interesting times. And apparently this would be something that would be said to the enemy armies, you know, wishing bad luck upon them, and may you live in times that are unsettled, basically. So it's interesting that you have something like this. It's kind of dressed up as something that maybe would sound nice, but it's that was not the intention of it at all. So I think as we look around us today, maybe we could say we are living in interesting times. On the one hand, we have prosperity in this country, and in the world for that matter, that is astounding. We look at what we have in terms of technology, how technology has improved our lives. But like so many things, technology can be a two-edged sword. It can be a blessing, it can be a curse as well. We look around us at what's happening in our country. Our country is divided. I think I can say that without being hyper-political or anything like that, and that's not my intention this morning in any way, shape, or form. We can look at what's going on in the world around us, and we can see lots of trouble that is going on in the world around us. You know, there's all kinds of saber rattling that is occurring. And it does seem to lead to a little bit of a feeling of angst, I believe, that a lot of people have in the world today. Let's go to the next slide. There was a survey that was taken back in January of this year. A survey basically about hope. How do people feel? What is their hope meter? And here were the two basic headlines from that. Half of the American public is extremely worried about where the country is headed over the next 12 months, citing, you know, all of the usual suspects that would come into play for something like that. And roughly one-fifth of Americans are extremely hopeful about the country's immediate future, although also one in four explicitly said that nothing made them hopeful. And if you go to the next slide, we've got a little graph. You can look at the results of that survey here graphically. Basically the same information, 55% are worried or extremely worried or very worried or somewhat worried, just a little bit. You know, you can kind of feel what's going on around us in the country. So with that in mind, it made me think about what would it take for all of us to feel more at peace about things. And then I remembered a time for me, and this is a long time ago. I'm going to talk about a time when I was just a pup, a Christian, let's say a Christian pup. So I'm going to take you back to approximately 1983, 1984. Wait a minute, that was the date of Orwell's book, right? 1980, yeah. Yeah, but I think that was a year, 1984. And I was still a pretty new Christian, and I was in a fellowship that placed a lot of emphasis on prophecy. And again, looking at conditions around us today and what's going on around us and the apparently increasing level of angst in society in general, I remembered this one sermon that I heard when I was a relatively new Christian. And in that sermon, the speaker revealed to me and to us and to the people who were listening where the place of safety is. Okay? And there's going to be a big reveal toward the end of this message, and I am going to share with you where the place of safety is. Now, if you're not sure what I'm talking about as far as the place of safety, Laura, if you would go to the next slide. Laura, next slide. There's, in the book of Revelation, this is New International Version, there is a verse that says, "The woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent." So where it says to her place, you know, the picture that's being drawn here is that the church is going to be taken to some kind of a desolate place. And in scripture, wilderness is sometimes used as a place of, to signify a place of refuge where God will take his people. After they came out of Egypt, they went into the wilderness. Now, you know, it wasn't fun and games for them, but it was a place where God could work with them over a period of time and try to deprogram them from what they had experienced and the slavery that they had endured in the land of Egypt. But this particular verse, sometimes some Christian commentators who also have a focus with prophecy, they look at this verse and they say, a place in the wilderness to her place. And they talk about this in terms of a place of safety where God's people can go away from all the tumult and the turmoil that will occur or might occur, depending on your perspective, in the end times. And again, when I was a baby Christian, I heard this message. And this is, you know, we're talking over 35 years ago, folks, right? So this particular sermon, this particular message had such an impact on me that for 35 years, I have never, ever forgotten this message. I don't think about it every day, but it's something that's still there. It's something that's part of my Christian DNA. It's something that's really, really meaningful to me. And again, I'm gonna take it down the path here, and then in a little bit, we're gonna have the big reveal, okay? We're gonna have the big reveal about the place of safety. Are you ready? Are you with me? All right. How about you, F5 back there? Okay. All right, let's go to the next slide. So I got to, you know, prove to you that I did my homework, okay? I looked at, what do we got there? About 10 different commentaries on this particular verse in the book of Revelation. And there's no agreement, right? People will say different things about it. Come on, it's prophecy. This is the book of Revelation. A lot of stuff is allegory. It's difficult. It's admittedly difficult. But if you go and you look at all of these different commentaries, you know, by the end of reading all of this stuff, your head is spinning, and I don't know. I didn't feel like I learned anything new. But I do remember that sermon from 35 years ago. And in that sermon, the speaker sort of did something very similar where he went through and, you know, and he put the verse in context and he talked about it. And, you know, he went through some different interpretations. Now, this particular fellowship, where I met my wife, by the way, okay, heavy emphasis on prophecy, really heavy emphasis on prophecy. So, you know, it was talked about a lot. It was something that was really important. And, you know, and it was considered important for the members of the fellowship to understand that this prophecy meant this and this prophecy meant that, you know, and people were fairly dogmatic and certain about what certain prophecies meant. And again, I think the speaker for this particular message that I am hearkening back to, I think he really had his ducks in a row on this. I mean, this was, you know, I think he just nailed it. I think he really just nailed it. So just be patient with me. Just give me a little bit of time here to draw this out. Next slide. So as a physical place, the place of safety. Now, if you go through all of these commentaries, they will have different points of view. But the leading candidate for the place of safety is a place in what is now modern-day Jordan, right across from Israel. So you have Israel, and then just to the east, you have the state of Jordan, okay? And this is a place that is called Petra, okay? And Petra, of course, in Greek, refers to rock. And Petra is a city that was hewn out of rock. Absolutely fantastically amazing if you look at it. Now, from this one particular picture, it may not look like all that much, but it's pretty big. So go ahead to the next slide. Go skip this one for a minute. Go to the next slide. Just to give you, all right, this picture gives you a little bit more perspective, right? So you can see the people and you can see it's, you know, it's a pretty tall rock face and you have this entrance here. Go to the next slide. So this is a map of the entire area. And you can see there's a visitor center, there's something called the Jinn blocks, there's tombs, there's a high place for sacrifice down at the bottom, broken pediment, grand temple. It's not just what you see in that one picture. It's a pretty big place. And if you go through, like I said, some of these commentaries, this is one of the leading candidates, one of the leading places that are thought that some commentators say refers back to this scripture in Revelation. Go back, Laura, to the text. Yeah. Okay. So Petra is a historic and archaeological city in southern Jordan. It's adjacent to the mountain of Jabal al-Madbah, in a basin surrounded by mountains. So it's kind of flanked around by mountains, and it's a fairly protected area. Okay, the eastern flank of the Araba Valley, running from the Dead Sea to the Gulf of Aqaba. The area around Petra has been inhabited from as early as 7,000 BC. That's a long time, by a group called the Nabataeans. They might have settled there, and it would become their capital city as early as the 4th century BC. This group, the Nabataeans, were nomadic Arabs who invested in Petra's proximity to the incense trade routes by establishing it as a major regional trading hub. So this is a pretty interesting place. It's on our list of places to go see if we ever feel comfortable enough that war won't break out in that particular part of the world. But that's Petra. It's a pretty interesting place. And as I said, people who have written these commentaries, there's differing opinions about where it's going to be, but this is the leading candidate. So I hear this message. So now we're going back 35 years again. I hear this message, and the speaker kind of brings you through a lot of the context of the chapter, and he's talking about the different prophecies, and then he takes a right turn in the sermon. And at the end of the sermon, he's wrapping up the message, and he comes to this, and he says, "So, where is this place of safety?" And this was the punchline of the sermon. Jesus Christ is the place of safety. That is why that particular message that I heard over 35 years ago made such an impact on me. Because again, there was a lot of emphasis on prophecy in this particular fellowship, and you were constantly talking about this. And then to kind of go through it and have it all laid out, and then to have that punchline at the end of the sermon, that Jesus Christ is the place of safety, that it really doesn't matter. It's not a physical place. Laura, go forward a few slides until you get to a scripture. So that impressed me in such a way that I have remembered that for over 35 years. Here, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith as Savior, he is a new creation." So for us to be in Christ is the one and only, the safest place that any of us as Christians can possibly be. "The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come," because spiritual awakening brings a new life. So this is obvious. This is the Amplified Bible. It's kind of a little bit of a mixture of original language translation and, and paraphrase and trying to bring it into modern English. Next slide, please. Oh, okay. Previous slide. So that's the last slide. That's basically the message that I have for you this morning. It's summertime. Really didn't want to get too heavy on anything in particular. But I would just like to share with you, and I guess I have already, so something that just really made an impression upon me as a baby Christian, and something that I've always tried to carry with me and to remember. It really doesn't matter, family. It really doesn't matter what's going on, who drops what bomb on where, who invades who, the economy goes into the toilet. It doesn't matter. And if you're looking for a safe place to be, that safe place is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.